I'm very happy now to welcome Jules Hart. She is producer and director of the documentary Pink Smoke Over the Vatican, mm-hmm. which screens at the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival at Warehouse 21 this coming Thursday at 4 in the afternoon. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
So this is all about women priests in the Catholic Church, which I didn't even know existed until I saw your film. People who have been basically kept out of the church hierarchy, but some women have managed to become priests anyway.
Absolutely. They've kind of taken the bull by the horn, so to speak, and there are male bishops in good standing with Rome who have secretly ordained these women and brought them into the apostolic succession, so they feel that they are in alignment with the Roman Catholic Church now.
One thing that I've always wondered, I mean, whatever you might think of not ordaining women priests, a lot of people see it as a kind of vestigial sexism of the Catholic Church, that they won't do that. And I've always thought, well, why don't they just go to the Episcopalians or the Unitarians or somebody else who is happy to embrace women priests? But what I saw in your movie, that there are people who really grew up in the Catholic tradition for whom it's a calling, and they want to stay inside of that church, which I find fascinating and sort of perplexing.
Well, it's true. As one woman says in the film, she says, I'm British, you know, I can't leave being British because I don't like the Queen. And that's how they feel to some extent. They are Roman Catholic, and one woman even said, it's in my DNA, you know. They feel very connected to this church. And another point is they feel that if you leave, you can't change the church from outside. The only way you can make real reform is by staying.
Another thing that I didn't know about was that there is a lot of evidence, including new archaeological evidence, that there have been, in the earliest history of the Catholic Church, lots of women priests.
Exactly. All of these discoveries have been made in the past 100 years. They're just being re-looked at, and they are reinterpreting the, like, say there's a tombstone of a that says Presbyterissa, which means woman priest. They were saying, oh, it's the priest's wife. But so they're reinterpreting these things, and they're finding frescoes, say, in the catacombs of women actually in the Eucharist. So they now, women scholars are coming in and saying, wait a minute, that's a woman, that's a woman priest. And we have lots of evidence of it. More and more and more is coming to light.
Tell us a little bit about the story of the woman who was ordained in an underground church in Czechoslovakia during the Soviet era. That's an amazing story.
Isn't that? What a courageous woman. What a courageous man who ordained her. Yes, when the communists took over Czechoslovakia, they were atheistic, and so they stopped people from openly celebrating their religion. So the church had to go underground, and many of the priests were imprisoned or deported or killed. And so what happened, there were so many women in prison that they decided, and there were nuns in prison, and they could not get any sacraments. So they decided the only way to bring sacraments to the women in prison would be to actually ordain a woman priest. So Bishop Felix Davidek actually did that, and Ludmilla was one. There were actually seven women that were ordained. She's the only one that's come forward. And so for 20 years, this was her job. She ministered to women and men who had no access to a priest.
And what's amazing about that is that the Vatican, rather than saying, oh, how wonderful that people in prison are getting ministry under the communist regime, they totally condemned the whole practice of even having these few women priests under the circumstances.
Exactly. You know, I'm sure they felt very betrayed by that. Here they'd served for 20 years. And all of the men that he ordained in that period were ratified, but the women were told, you know, thank you for serving. It was only in a time of emergency, but you know that you're not really a priest. So that must have been devastating.
Who were the Danube Seven?
This was a group of seven women who came out of a larger movement that started in Austria. It was called We Are Church. And they wanted many reforms in the church, not only the ordination of women. So they were working towards many reforms. And the pedophilia had just begun to surface in Germany and Austria. And they decided to go ahead and said, you know, we've been preparing for women's ordination since the 60s. After Vatican II seemed to have opened the church to this idea, and nothing has happened. And here it is, 2000. And so they did find male Roman Catholic bishops who also believe it was very unjust not to have women be priests. And they ordained seven women secretly on the Danube River in 2000. And the movement has just grown from there.
And what's so interesting is there's a couple of examples in your documentary. We're talking about the film Pink Smoke Over the Vatican, of women priests being ordained on boats so that it can be in international waters and they're not subject to whatever prosecution, I guess.
Well, yes, there were several reasons they decided to do them on ships, and one of them was so they would not be under any certain archbishop's jurisdiction so that they couldn't stop them. And also for security reasons, this way they could make sure they knew who was getting on the boat, and therefore nobody would try and stop them. It would be kind of a closed venue. And also no Roman Catholic Church obviously would allow them to do this on their property.
It's so interesting. Some of the women in the film are real social activists and
yes.
People who go out and into the field and work with the poorest of the poor and who fight for justice and so on. And others are real. I mean, one is a sort of self-described, I've always been a good girl, kind of conservative people who never would have gone online for, you know, gone over the line for anything except
right.
for the fact that they had this calling in the first place and they kind of had to.
Exactly. No, you'll see a great range of different people, and they absolutely, the one thing I hope that comes across in the film that I felt in meeting them was this deep call. I mean, these are not crazy women. These are not fanatics. These are people who, under any other circumstances, would not have come forward, except, as you said, there are a couple of activist women. But frankly, this is a deep, quiet call that they couldn't ignore any longer. A lot of these women are in their 60s, and they have felt it for years, and they finally just said, this is my opportunity, I am going to be ordained. And they followed that call.
Another thing that I had never really thought about is there's a lot of women who are Catholic women who want to go to confession, but they just don't feel comfortable confessing what's been going on in their lives, especially if there's, for example, sexual abuse or anything like that, to a male priest. And there is a real demand for women priests just on the level of somebody to confess to.
Oh, absolutely. And this, I hope, is more in the past. But as you saw in the film, one woman who counsels women who've been in abusive relationships, they've gone to their priest, and their priest, you know, since divorce is forbidden by the church, they tell them to go back to their abuser. So it's sending someone back repeatedly into situations where they're being abused. And hopefully women priests would have a better understanding. I mean, male priests, at least in the past, they grew up in seminaries from being very young teenage boys. They've had no real connection to women except for women that serve them, the nuns, you know, who take care of them and make their food and take care of their offices. So they really don't have real relationships with women, you know, and know what they go through in this kind of situation. And also imagine the girls that are being incested by their father or their brother or their uncles. You know, can they go and tell that to their priest? They're not even supposed to be having sex. It's a very double-edged sword. It's very hard. So I think having a woman to minister to these people would help tremendously.
The policy that the church, that the Catholic Church upholds, that the Vatican upholds, of A, not ordaining women priests, and B, requiring celibacy of their priests seem just so hopelessly outdated and pathetic, but also really self-destructive, because who really wants to be a priest anymore? I mean, it's amazing to me that these women want to be priests, that anybody wants to be a priest at all, yet they never update their policies.
Oh, it's very, very true. All the seminaries are closing, and the nuns that you see now, they're all old. I mean, nobody wants to have this very difficult calling. I'm not saying celibacy is always difficult. Many of the women in the film were nuns, and they love that path. In fact, they feel that celibacy is a gift, but it's only a gift if it's what you're being called to. So, no, that is one of the things the women in this movement would love, is for the church to open its doors to married priests, because there are many priests who've left to marry who would enjoy coming back and ministering. And it is, I agree with you, I think it's hopelessly outdated. I think it's time to make these changes and bring the church into the modern world.
How did you come to make this film?
Oh, a woman actually approached me, the one who was the good girl. she had seen an article about me in a local paper talking about my interest in making documentaries, especially about women and about empowerment, you know, and spirituality. And she said, "I'm going to be ordained a deacon in the Roman Catholic Church, and is that a story that would interest you?" And initially I said, "Not really," because I'm not Catholic, and I didn't really understand what excluding women from ordination, how huge an impact that has, not only on the 1 billion Catholics, but also to our society in general. So once I met her and saw her call and met some of the other women, I said, no, this is a story that I need to tell.
Do you see any evidence whatsoever that changes are afoot?
Only in the laity, frankly.
Yeah.
The church seems to be really harshly punishing these women. They've all been excommunicated, and so have the male priests who have also been excommunicated. And that's one of the points in the film. The Pope came out, I guess, in 2008 talking about the gravest crimes against the church. And one of them is pedophilia, and the other one, on par with it, is the ordination of women. And also, the punishment for ordaining women is stronger than the punishment for pedophilia, where the men...
And they cover up the pedophilia.
Exactly. The men who've committed these crimes have not been excommunicated. None of them, but all of the women have been excommunicated. So it says something about fear of women or... it speaks to something very deep in this church.
The film is called Pink Smoke Over the Vatican. Jules Hart is the producer and director, and it screens as part of the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival this Thursday, the 21st of October, at 4 in the afternoon at Warehouse 21. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for your interest.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Please stay tuned.